My name is Christopher McWhite, a new resident to Raleigh Court, and I'm interviewing
Gordon Thornton. Yes. Andrew Gordon Thornton Jr.
Thornton Jr. And you're a longtime resident of Raleigh Court?
Yes.
Okay. How long ago did you come to Raleigh Court?
Well, I haven't lived at one place all the time, but I started out, that could be one story. Do you want me to go on with one
sure,
little story?
That's fine.
Okay, yeah. And I've been here all right. My folks brought me home, and the house that I lived or grew up in is now 2046 Westover Avenue. Now, before the Morris apartments were built down the second block of Grandin Road, I lived at 614 Northumberland Avenue. Now, the city built them, the Morris apartments were built, I guess, first. And with the Morris apartments, there were two apartments that fronted on Northumberland. So all of a sudden, instead of living at 614 Northumberland, I lived at 646 Northumberland. The city decided that they wanted to have things, as progress goes, numbering system for the city. So they decided that Jefferson Street would be a dividing line for the east-west blocks. And at that time, my number changed to 2046 Northumberland. Now, at that time, I would go down to the bottom of the hill in the 2000 block of Northumberland, and I would look east over at Westover Avenue. The city very shortly changed the name of Northumberland to Westover. So now I live at 2046 Westover. And my fourth address without moving.
Did they ever give you any reason that you could tell for why they changed the name so many times?
Well, it didn't change the name, but the once. And that was when, Virginia Heights area, the Grandin Road area, was annexed to the city in 1919. So now we're talking about mid-20s. So it hadn't been part of the city for long. So it had different names for different streets that did exist before the city annexed it. So then when the city got hold of it, things started progressing from there. So that's the just progress.
And when you went into the house, you said your parents brought you home there. Your parents, were they from any other portion of Virginia, or have they also lived in this region?
Well, my grandfather was a druggist. They had drug stores downtown. I'm not exactly sure what year he came to Roanoke, but he came from the Hillsboro area into Roanoke in the late teens.
From the Hillsboro area?
And Abington.
And Abington, okay. And that, of course, was, you said he came here as a druggist. That was something he was trained up in the teens, you said. The 18 teens or the 19 teens?
19 teens.
Oh, sorry.
And I don't know too much about him. I know he had one or two different drug stores around Roanoke, and I've had some mail that was addressed to a Dr. R.J. Thornton. So I don't know whether druggists in those days went by doctor or whether they were considered doctors.
And his children's name, your parents, or at least one of your parents, what were their names?
It was Andrew Gordon Thornton Sr. was my father. That's the Thornton that I was referring to. And mother was Mary Louise Ingleby. And the Inglebys were long-time residents, and quite a history there of Englewood's, as anybody from here along knows. So that's a different section, though, performing downtown Roanoke. I believe you can trace my ancestors back to one of the. From what I understand, it's a possibility, it was my great-great-grandfather, I believe, that had a brother that bought some sort of streetcar, horse-drawn streetcar line in downtown Big Lick or Roanoke, and that became the Roanoke Railway and Electric, which were the streetcars. And speaking of the Grandin Road area, maybe that's something else, the streetcars coming out Grandin Road.
As far as streetcars are concerned, do you have any early recollection of those streetcars yourself? Did you ride on them to different places?
Oh, yes, that was our transportation. And those tracks came on out Moore Avenue now, but it's called Virginia Avenue then. The tracks came up to Grandin Road, turned left on Grandin Road, and went all the way up to Brandon Avenue. And that was the end of the line. And the first block of Grandin Road, they had a double section of track where the trolleys, streetcars, north and south, could meet on that double track and pass each other. But there apparently were enough traffic for them to have enough streetcars that there was one would be going up Grandin Road to Brandon. At the same time, one was leaving Grandin Road going to town.
Pretty sure that had a lot of times you come by there and just wave to your friends on the other one, maybe even try to arrange where you all would be able to meet. Did anything like that ever happen?
Well, we rode them to. And in particular, after going to Jefferson High School, we rode down to school there. And that was the main transportation to and from if you didn't have a car. And we more or less grew up without an automobile. That was past the Depression time, and we were struggling along.
Just to get a frame of reference for newcomers to the city like myself, Jefferson High School, is it still in existence or does it have a different name now?
Well, it's Jefferson Center. And you hear a whole lot of them. They have the good auditorium there and that is going. And it still has a whole lot going on there. So forth. I'm sure you've heard of the Jefferson Center.
Certainly. What would you say was one of the more significant things that you can remember from your early times here in Roanoke? Perhaps when you were a teenager?
I guess a couple of things that just about going up. One thing when I was just old enough to sort of roam away from the site of my house, I went up to the corner of Brunswick on North Avenue. I went up to the corner and around the corner and sat on the wall. And there I looked across the street at a house on the second block of Northumberland. And I believe it was a Miss Stevens lived there. And she had a parrot on the latticed back porch. And I'd sit there and talk with the parrot. And I have no idea what it really said. I don't know whether it said Potty wants crack or something, but evidently I could draw something out of him and he would say words or noises. So that was something learned. And another thing about the early 30s was the Virginia Heights Elementary School. At the time, there was the little building which would be on the west section of the lot that has Virginia Heights Elementary School now. And that little building had wooden steps, wooden floors, and a two-story building. And they had a spiral sliding board leaving the second floor. It was enclosed, and that was the fire escape. And we would have fire drills, and of course, a lot of us looked forward to sliding down that spiral staircase from the second floor. But some people were a little scared of it. It was, you're going into a closed area. So there are a couple of things that I can remember about that. And then another thing that goes to the mid-30s is that I would go to a location to visit one of my friends that had just moved into the Riley Court area near Lakewood. And we would go down, and there was a swimming hole below Lakewood Park, is now the creek there. And one place that was big enough for a little swimming hole, and I've been swimming down there. But that area now is covered with businesses that's on the southeast corner of Brambleton and Brandon.
Now, this was in the 1930s, but even today, politics and politicians in particular are a great influence on different regions of the country. Of course, we're getting close to the 1930s, getting close to the time of World War II. Do you remember any significant impacts that the World War II would have had on the Raleigh Court area?
Well, I remember I was a scout in Troop 2, the troop for the Raleigh Court Presbyterian Church where we were sitting down.
That would have been the Boy Scout troop.
Boy Scout 2. And I was a messenger for the civil defense unit, and they had the area wardens, and when we had blackouts and so forth, I had a bicycle with a light on it with the front end taped up so that only M showed, because during blackouts you shouldn't have any lights showing.
Now, what did the Civil Defense Corps do in Raleigh Court that you were involved in as a messenger?
Just was available, met, and during when they had air raid drills, you would meet at a warden's house and be prepared for whatever, not knowing what, but of course it's set up for some little question whether it would bomb us or what.
Being this far inland from the coast, do you remember there being anything ever coming up, or were there any false alarms that had people on edge?
Not that I can remember. Just preparedness. That was the main thing. It was pushed, being prepared and ready to sail. And of course, ships coming in to the coast, it's possible that you could get something in this far. And of course, you were concerned about the atomic bomb, whether somebody else had that that would come over, and we could be affected even if it came hit Washington, which would be a prime target, and Richmond close. Of course, the Navy operations around Norfolk, so therefore we were skirted and possibly could have repercussions. I guess another thing about when I started out talking about growing up in the Virginia Heights section is that I did go in the Navy after 18 years here in Virginia Heights. Went in the Navy, and there I was 2 years, and then left the Navy and went to VPI for 4 years.
And then I moved. People who don't know, what is VPI?
Virginia Polytechnic Institute, Virginia Tech, Hokie. And after finishing school at VPI, I came back to Roanoke. We moved on Labellum which is part of Riley Corps. So I left Virginia Heights and they moved them back into the Berlin. And then from the Berlin, I moved to Memorial Avenue, and that was Virginia Heights, Virginia Avenue, as I was growing up. But we lived in Memorial for a year and then bought a house on Livingston Road. So there I went into Grandin Court, still in this area though. And from Grandin Court, we moved to Mount Vernon Road, where I live now. And so I've been in this area for 74 years.
So when you finished with school, on let's maybe go back to your school days in the high school and middle school, and your friends would get together. Did you ever get a chance to go over to the Grandin Village and enjoy some of the, or when was the theater built to your memory?
It had to be the early 30s, and that's sort of, well, I jotted down notes as to more or less what I remembered as Grandin Road when I was growing up.
Well, that'd be great.
What I've said is Grandin Village is a big thing now. As I remember Grandin Road, the west side of the first block had a Texaco station on the corner. Now that's where the Baptist Church Park is now. Then there was an 809 family apartment house, and then Dr. Kirk's house was on the other corner. Now, that was really some place. I'd like to get back to that. But first, about the white apartments, as those apartments were known, about the time that the theater was built, they jacked up the white apartments and moved it back and set it on a new foundation to make room for buildings fronting Grandin Road. And that's where we got the natural food store that is still existing. And the apartments shortly gave way for parking area. Now back to Dr. Kirk's house. Shrubs and or a fence surrounded his property, and it had a driveway entering from Grandin Road between the house and the white apartments, and exited onto Northumberland behind his house. Now, a big backyard there was full of roses, rose bushes, and it had a greenhouse there. Now, you know, I cannot remember a single rock being thrown through that greenhouse with it just full of panes of glass, and I can't remember any of them being broken. I guess the parents had better control of children in those days. We didn't throw rocks at windows.
To your remembrance, was Dr. Kirk a part-time horticulturalist?
It was his hobby, and he was famous. Well, my understanding was he was known the world over in the field of roses, and actually had a variety of roses named after him.
And what was he a doctor of?
Family doctor. He would go to your house, or we could go to his house if they had sore throat. And he would send us across the street to one of the drug stores. Now, Grandin Road itself started, or I was mentioning, that's the west side that had his house. Then the next block was the first apartment there, Morris Apartments, what I was talking about, that changed my numbering system. And then the only thing besides houses up the rest of the street, up to here where we are now at the Radical Presbyterian Church, was the Swan Hole Apartments. That's changed right much. And then the east side of Grandin Road, starting at the corner of what was Virginia Avenue then, Memorial, was Bars, 10-cent store, I believe it was, and Bob's restaurant. And then the theater in there, may have been a barber shop. And then Bryce's drugstore, and then the alley. And then the small Lutheran church, that's where the Lutheran church started on Grandin Road. And then there was Murdis Grocery, I believe it was, a little private grocery. And then Clover's Drugstore, and that's where Garland's took over before Garland's Drug moved across the street to where CVS was and the bank and everything is now. And then from Clover's Drugstore, there was, I think, another grocery store before the corner. Then across the corner was an A&P, and that was still on the east side. A&P store, and I believe a filling station in the houses, and on up into Raleigh Court. And at that time, Raleigh Court had two big gray columns on each side of Grandin Road, so that going up Grandin Road, you knew when you were going into Raleigh Court. And Raleigh Court Methodist Church was there. At that time, it was built in the early 20s, and the Del Monte apartments were there then.
You can still see signs of some of the older buildings that were there, and people who lived in them or conducted business. One of those was the Masonic Temple that was in there, Lakeland, and they've since moved on. Do you remember what kind of influence they had in the neighborhood?
You're thinking of the first block of Grandin Road, the Masonic. Now, upstairs there is where the first meetings for the Raleigh Court Methodist Church started. They held meetings in the Masonic Lodge auditorium there before the church was built. So, of course, that had something to do with the area.
And the streets, well, the streets were not always paved, were they? You said that there was a streetcars that went down them. What else do you remember about the streets?
I remember going up Virginia Avenue, that's more from Grandin Road, went up Virginia Avenue, and up about three or four blocks, we turned off my office, had a car, and took us for a ride one time. I remember going up the hill there and turning to the left on to a dirt road. And we wandered down that dirt road, and we had to ford a creek to come back out on Brandon Avenue. Now that road is now where Edgewood is. But we forded the creek down that way when I was little.
I see you have some other remembrances. If you'd like to go over those, I'd really appreciate it.
Well, I've covered a couple of them. About swimming in there, and then I've covered much of it that I had to try to cover. I worked Indian on
when you were growing up in the area on Laburnum, did you have any neighbors that had any impact on you?
Well, very definitely one. Now, I graduated from school then and married and came back. And we lived in the upstairs apartment with Professor Knofsinger. Now, he was a physics teacher at Jefferson High School, and many people have had a great influence from him. That he started out by teaching you how to use a meter stick. Now, that was the metric system. Everybody's familiar with the yardstick. Well, in his physics class, you learn how to think in metric systems. And also, he would find somebody in the class to sort of pick on and ask him questions. And the answers, of course, he had some present-day thing about some law. So Professor Knopfsinger certainly had influence on me. And another one was a great influence, I would say, was Barney Haley. Now he became a well-known scoutmaster with Troop 2, the Presbyterian Scout Troop. And I was actually belonged to this troop when Barney became a scoutmaster. And he is a great influence to many people. Just coming through here, the crowd outside on this block party, I was asking where they were having these interviews, and I gave my name to someone right for Civic League. And all of a sudden, a fellow says, "Mr. Thornton, I'm Ricky Lovegrove, one of your old scouts." So the show flows came from.
Did you ever have a chance as a troop to go to any jamborees?
As a leader, I went with my youngest son. Both my sons became Eagle Scouts from the troop here. And my oldest son was working and worked summers, and we had paper routes, and I carried papers up Brandon Road to Brandon and all of Greenwood. But both my boys carried papers, and so my oldest boy, it seemed like he was always busy in the summertime, but my youngest son, Joe Thornton, went to a jamboree. I went with him on that. It was a good experience.
Now, did the jamborees, did they ever occur near this region, or were they always somewhere else?
Always somewhere else. Took usually rode a train to get to them. Only more recently had they been here in Virginia.
One of the questions that they have here as an example was about the library on Memorial. Did you spend much time at the library?
Not a lot of time. I was interested in other things, but we had there. I remember them having groups that would gather the children on, I guess, it was Saturday mornings, and have Let's Pretend and things like that that sort of had some entertainment for children.
About what decade was this library in existence?
Well, I remember it from, I guess when I was old enough to go to the library by myself, 8 years old or something like that, and until they built the one out Brandon Road. I still sort of refer to the library building around there.
You said you played Let's Pretend. What sort of games did you all?
I had no idea. We were sitting around a round table and somebody was there entertaining us.
I'm not sure what this question was intended to produce, but I'll ask it anyway. Why is the Grandin shopping area called a village, in your opinion?
I guess taken from other urban areas that talk about this village, village center and something with a whole bunch of stores around, sort of like a village, I guess. I think it's a name to try to make something sound like something to designate it. Like I say, the Grandin Road, the businesses, I always remember businesses in the first block. So how far is that extended? It's still more or less first block and second block businesses. So is it the center of a village?
So it wasn't always known as the village then?
No. Not until after the Radical War, civically, I believe.
And before it was called, monikered as a village, do you remember a sense of community that had changed, or was it always a community that just kind of appeared to your knowledge?
It just grew. Like say, it was annexed by the city, and it just, like the Roanoke was moved, as well, what was the first motto of Roanoke from Aiken to Oak, Roanoke? And then it was the Magic City because it grew so big after it left the name Big Lick. Became the Magic City, and I guess from there, when they put the star up on the mountain, it was the Star City of the South, and all that was progress.
I guess what I'm wondering is, it's one of those chicken or the egg kind of things. Do you feel the city had a more influence in creating the village aspect, or do you feel the community fostered that themselves and eventually kind of came to a name, or do you believe it's about more of a coincidence that it just happened?
I would say that business people, businessmen, saw the opportunity and expanded out to create that. Like I say, when in the late 20s, early 30s, the first block of Grandin Road was all business. Didn't I mention the different stores there?
Yeah, you said you mentioned several of them.
So that was started with the late 20s to early 30s. And when they jacked that apartment up, moved it back, they saw Grandin Road wasn't a place for a family down there with all the businesses. They moved the people back away and built a storefront there for business.
So it's interesting you talk about how they literally jacked up the apartment building and moved it over to the side to make room for the businesses. When did they start booming the housing market around here?
Gradually. That was something that seemed like it was an extreme measure because that building had been over 100 foot wide, and it was 3 stories, I believe. So jacking that off of the foundation and moving it back, they would move it just inches at a time, and it, I don't know how many days or a couple of weeks it took to move it from its original location back to the new foundation. And just, I guess, marvelous in those days that it actually fit on the new foundation. But yes, this just gradually evolved.
The fire station, what that's on Memorial now, or you said Northumberland, no, Virginia Road at the time, Virginia Avenue, was it one of the originators of the neighborhood?
Yes, it was theirs. As far as I can remember now, maybe I don't remember past 6 years of age or so. But
I'm going to interrupt you all real quick. We're running out of time and have a couple people backed up, so I was going to see if we could finish up in about 5 minutes, and then we could come and interview you a little later on what remains.
Well, you may have about all of it.
Okay.
Everything now. How far are you down on your...
I think we pretty much asked the questions that we really need to, but the only thing I wanted to finish up with mostly is just kind of, is there anything in particular about yourself that, because this is going to be recorded for posterity's sake also, but anything about yourself that you would like for people to remember, well, remember you by, in particular about in the Roanoke area?
Well, I guess one of the big things besides being part of the troupe with Barney Haley is that both my wife and myself are members of the Radical Methodist Church down the street here now. And my grandfather and grandmother and my father and uncle and aunt were charter members of the church. My aunt was the first lady to be married at the church. And my wife's grandfather, grandmother, and mother and uncle were charter members of the church. So we've had a good long hold on this area. And many people do know my mother as Mary Louise Ingleby growing up. And I guess that's it.
Well, Mr. Thurston, thank you, and troop number two, for having such an impact in the neighborhood.
Thank you. Christopher.